WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight's Head On with Bobkin Kim. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bobkin Kim.
After 7 o'clock, kind of a beautiful little evening here in beautiful uptown Beckley. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Everything is beautiful. Now I'm going to sing. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Tuesday night. It's already Tuesday. Interestingly, this is an anniversary of sorts, I do believe. This is the anniversary of the last American troops exiting Vietnam, hoping against hope that we had learned a lesson there, which apparently we have not. And also, no matter how badly I want the Terri Schiavo case to go away, for that poor woman to have whatever rest is available to her, it just won't. Not because of anything having to do with me, but because the sleaze out of this case just keeps oozing into the national consciousness. And where I thought yesterday it had come full circle and reached its ultimate nastiness when we found out that Tom DeLayer, or DeLay rather, had bumped off his daddy, and then his family had sued someone over it, you know, because that's those godless trial lawyers, remember? It's gotten worse. What did we find out today? That's right. The obscenity that has been the right-wing assault on government in the Terri Schiavo disgrace debacle has this time really, really come full circle. First of all, there are those two monks, friars, whatever, the guys in the brown robes from Wisconsin. It reminds me of an old gag. A guy goes to a dinner at a monastery, and it's Friday, and it's during Lent, and they have fish and chips, and he calls, need a drink? Run! I don't know. Poor Taylor. Anyway, the guy enjoys his meal, and he says, he calls one of the fellows over, and he says, I want to compliment the chefs on this, so they take him back to the kitchen. There are all these guys in brown robes busily cooking, and he goes to the first one. He says, those fish and chips were wonderful. I just wanted to compliment you. And he said, well, it's not just me. I'm only the fish fryer, the chipmunk's over there. I should know. Yeah. But anyway, as it turns out, these guys from Wisconsin, no, they're from Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, they're friars. And they've got robes and sandals and cell phones and big mouths. And one of them it just amazes me when I hear him talking about Terri Schiavo's right to life, and yet this guy's a member of the church and he doesn't have anything to say about slaughtering 100,000 civilians in Iraq. Well, I guess he had better things to do. But he's a member of the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. They have 10 members, and they have swooped down on Robert and Mary Schindler. And as it turns out, like I said, the sleaze just keeps on rolling out. Their founder was a fellow named Michael Gaworski, and he founded the Franciscan Brothers of Peace in 1982. And these guys apparently did some good work. They collected food and clothing for the needy. They ministered to international survivors of torture. I wonder if maybe they could be doing some good works in Guantanamo. And they shared their message at a juvenile detention center. They conducted sidewalk counseling at abortion clinics. Okay, well, some good work, not much. But in 1991, Michael Gaworski, the founder of the order, had a heart attack that left him pretty much Terri Schiavo'd. Severe brain damage, had to have a feeding tube for nourishment. And They cared for him, the brothers did, for 12 years. At age 45, Gaworski contracted pneumonia and died. And there was an opportunity to prolong his life. What did the Franciscan Brothers of Peace do? The Franciscan Brothers of Peace promptly bumped off Brother Gaworski. So there's that. And then there's, of course, Robert Schindler, the father of Terry Schiavo. Turns out Bob Schindler bumped off his mama when she was 79 years old. She'd had pneumonia for a week. Her kidneys began to fail. And Bob Schindler said, hit the bricks, Granny. And he sent mama for the long dirt nap. So that's what we're dealing here with these sickening hypocrites. Oh, but wait, it gets better. You're going to love this one. It turns out that Mr. and Mrs. Schindler, who are so very worried about Terry and are so worried that they're willing to call Michael Schiavo a murderer and have Tom DeLayer, or rather DeLay, call him a barbarian, okay, all of that. Well, what did I tell you? What did I tell you Republican Holy Communion was? Jingle your pockets. You probably got some Holy Republican Communion in it. See if you got any of that folding Holy Republican Communion. The greenback kind. Because, and it was reported yesterday, turns out Terry Schiavo's parents, you know, when you go down there, you sign your name, your address, so they can put you on the thank you card list, so they can send you a thank you card. Guess what? Turns out Bob and Mary, is that her name? Mary? Mr. and Mrs. Schindler had bigger plans than that. Because when you put your name and your address and your phone number and your email address on their little list, the Schindler's list, guess what happens? That's right. They've authorized a conservative direct mailing firm to sell the list of their financial supporters so that they can telemarket and spam and direct mail to them to shill money. And the Schindlers will be paid for that list. And it's thousands of names long. Robert Gelman, he's a privacy and information policy consultant. He said, I think it's absolutely classic America. Everything is for sale in America. Every type of personal information. I think it's amusing. I don't know what kind of upbringing Robert Gelman had. I don't think it's funny at all. I think it's sickening. I think it's disgusting. I think it's enough to make any decent persons, and maybe even some Republicans, gorge rise. Now, this is Response Unlimited, the people who have had the who have purchased the list. Listen to the description of the list from the website of Response United. These compassionate pro-lifers donated toward Bob Schindler's legal battle to keep Terry's estranged husband from removing the feeding tube from Terry. They're asking Response Unlimited $150 a month for 6,000 names and $500 a month for 4,000 email addresses of people who responded last month to an email plea from Mrs. Schiavo's father. Oh. And I was up... I was upset about the Smells Like Jesus candles. Is there any depth that these scumbuckets won't plumb in the name of God? Oh, mercy me. Yeah, Schindler's List indeed. Schindler's List indeed. For sale. Have they got Jesus' address on there? I don't know. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Start on the heat, 'cause they don't get enough. where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there.
When disaster strikes.
For one volunteer force.
Helping each other.
And simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Who are the toughest men and women in the area?
West Virginia Sports Promotions presents
the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest.
As seen on national TV.
Co-sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming this Friday and Saturday to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. See up to 100 area men and women slug it out for thousands in prize money and tough man jackets. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. Good seats still available. Starting at just $12 for general admission. Reserve VIP ringside seats also available. Get your tickets today at the Raleigh County Armory or any Ticketmaster outlet, including Kroger. Charge by phone at 304-342-5757. For additional information or to sign up, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 25th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest. As seen on national TV. Coming this Friday and Saturday night to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
Top it out.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Honest to Pete. With Mr. Schindler bumping off his mama, the Friars bumping off their leader, Tom DeLay bumping off his daddy, and they're all pro-life, you got to ask yourself what's next. And you're afraid of the answer. Like I said, I was incredibly offended by the smells like Jesus candles going for $18 a pop in South Dakota. What's next? They're selling the list they're so that people can be telemarketed and emailed and direct mailed, the Schindlers are. For a buck. They're making a buck off of their brain-dead daughter. I mean, that's pimping, right? That's pimping. So I don't know, what's the next big thing in Jesus marketing? What, the official Jesus sports drink? It's apocalyptic aid. An invigorating blend of electrolytes simulating his salty soul-saving perspiration, flavored with essences of lemons, pomegranates, cassia, aloe oranges, frankincense, and myrrh, and sweetened with real date sugar for extra godly energy. It's not just a sports drink, it's a religious experience. So come on down and get your second wind from the second coming. It's apocalyptic aid coming soon. For the first time, to a grocery store near you. God, they'll have pyramids of it at Walmart. Or maybe it'll be in cruciform like the Russell Stover chocolates over Easter. Jesus! Really, that's not that big... Oh! The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967 if you want to get in on this foolishness. What's next? Jesus candles. Schindler's List. Apocalyptic aid. Reminds me of the old joke about, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on. Chris.
My daughter wants me to tell you her joke.
Okay.
Before I say anything else.
Okay.
She said, Bush was born from the devil.
Yes. Yes, she's
that's
right.
That's the joke and the punchline, yeah.
And all too serious, too, for some of my taste.
For real. He liked it, honey.
I really would like to meet you.
Well, you will someday. Next time we get down that way, we'll all get together and maybe go to dinner.
Okay.
Bye.
The Jesus candle, Schindler's List.
Did you like the apocalyptic aid?
McCarthyism. Give me some names. Write down a name. Tell me a name.
Christian McCarthyism.
You didn't mention the real kicker from... the most recent of the Terry Shackle case.
What did I miss?
Oh, I sent it to you.
Which?
I don't believe it. No. Scott Heldrith.
Oh, no, no, I had him last night.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't get to listen last night.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason Scott Heldreth didn't get arrested with his 10-year-old son. It would have been
But is his name on the list?
yeah, just not one he wants to be on. Florida Department of Law Enforcement. But, you know, had Scott Heldreth got arrested with his son for trespassing, it would have been a parole violation.
Yeah, and he's so near that school.
Oh.
A school that had to be moved. 600 students. There's a school nearby, the hospice. They had to relocate the school during all this because the signs people were holding up and the crowds weren't a good influence.
Oh, my God.
On the school kids. And now here's a registered sex offender in the state of Florida.
Oh, not just a sex offender, Chris. No, this guy's a pro. He's a child rapist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can see it there on the registry. Was victim a minor? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went and looked on the Alabama sex offender list last night.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 14 in my county. And one of them went to high school with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you want to get to know them, get up close and personal, know them real well, you can just, you know, start, you know, I'm sorry, go to church.
Yeah, really. He does go to church.
Yeah, this guy's Randall Terry's right-hand man, Chris.
I'm talking about the guy I went to high school with. I know he goes to church.
Oh.
He's a Methodist.
And I probably should not call any sex offender anybody's right-hand man.
No. My hand's in a cast. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just a chipmunk.
Yeah, you liked that one too, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm the fish fryer. The chipmunk's over there.
Oh, my goodness. This isn't going to go away. Not anytime soon.
No. Well, wait. I mean, you know, Requiescat in pace to Johnny Cochran. But did you see the story on His Holiness the Pope this evening?
No. What about?
It looks like they're talking about taking him back to the hospital and installing a...
feeding tube?
Bingo!
Red beans and rice. Pop that in there, baby. Creole.
How are they going to get the host down the hose? That's what I don't know. I mean...
put the lime in the... Also, Hal Heflin died today.
Did he really?
Yeah. I got a good story on him.
What? He was, what, 112?
He was 433.
Oh, okay.
Halfway to Sean Thurman. During the Clarence Thomas series, good old Hal, was, you know, who accidentally pulled a pair of panties out of his jacket pocket that day and thought it was
Yeah.
Blow your nose on it.
Yeah, handkerchief.
Handkerchief, yeah. Right around that time, he came home. He came home to Tuscumbia, and I was working at Muscle Shoals Walmart at the time. And he comes walking in the mall with just there. And I said, how you doing? I'm good, son. How are you? And he walks down the Action Alley down through there, and he goes down to Sporting Goods, and he stops. Stands there, and this is the man that's been going on and on about Clarence Thomas being a pervert, right?
All right.
He stands there, and and I walk down there, and he is just staring at the Suzanne Summers box for the Thighmaster.
The Thighmaster, oh my God.
He is, I mean, just riveted. And he stands there for like 10 minutes looking at.
Well, you know, I remember Senator Heflin, among other things, distinguished himself, if you can use that word, by voting for Ronald Reagan's preferred legislation more than any other member of the Senate, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, God rest his soul, and speeded on its way, and I mean, he did have some good moments. He was pretty good in the Clarence Thomas hearings. Because
yeah.
Clarence Thomas is a pervert.
Yeah, that's true, but then again, so is he.
Well, no, here's the difference, Chris. Hal Heflin would stare at the Suzanne Summers box.
Clarence Thomas would have opened it, right?
Yeah, would have groped it, you know.
Broke the seal.
The box containing the Thighmaster. I'm going to get myself in trouble again.
Yeah. Well, Delay won't talk to his mom.
No.
The Schindlers are certainly talking to Michael Schiavo. Of course, he can put in what he got to say. The list is being sold, Schindler's List. What else is there?
I mean, is the God of Irony just stalking the earth when you wind up with Schindler's List?
Oh, man.
And it's a list of people.
I saw a report that said Michael Schiavo approves of having an autopsy done.
Yeah.
And I saw another one that said Michael Schiavo wants an autopsy done.
I think Michael Schiavo needs an autopsy done.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, these people make so much fantasy up out of whole cloth that, you know, we got Michael the Savage Wiener out here accusing him of being a murderer without one shred of evidence.
Yeah.
You know, he'd better get one done because otherwise they'll dig up her ashes.
Oh, there's another little bit of hearsay where somebody said, I saw bruises on her.
Oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, and there's the empty vial of insulin in the garbage can thing. Like I said, they're willing to. They are. There is
no.
Well,
they've admitted hearsay before on that side.
Well.
You know.
Yeah. Let's see. Michael caused her eating disorder.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Never mind the fact that she had. You know that she was trying to lose weight even when she was in high school before she ever met him.
Yeah.
And then her, you know, what is this? What kind of a rotten thing is this to say about your daughter? The mother came out, Chris, and said, well, she was a very shy, insecure person, and Michael was the first person who ever said, I love you, and she married him. She was just desperate for the attention. Oh, really, mother?
And now that she's on a feeding tube, Michael, we want you to date. Is he dating yet? No, not yet. Is he dating yet? Yeah, okay. Let's file for custody.
Because we want the trust fund.
So now they can't. All the money's gone. So now they're going to get money for selling the list. But then they're going to make a TV movie. Then they're going to write some books. And then you're going to get paid to appear on all these television shows.
Oh yeah, and
they're still going to cash.
And the right wing money machine, from people like Richard Mellon Scaife and you know that filthy crowd. They've funded all of this lawyering.
Yeah. One another thing that fascinates me is all these right-to-lifers. I mean, culture of life people.
Yeah, culture of life.
Culture of life. They're all talking about, well, we're going to start looking at the Supreme Court here. I mean,
you know,
in the future, it's not going to be good enough to be a conservative.
Well, isn't it particularly noteworthy, Chris, that the guy that, you know, each individual justice of the Supreme Court is in charge of petitions for emergency relief that come to the court from the different circuits. Anthony Kennedy, who is a Reagan appointee, is in charge of the 11th Circuit, which is where the appeals came to the Supreme Court from in the Schiavo case. He has the power. Now, Anthony Kennedy, hardcore conservative Republican, has the power on his own.
Yeah.
To issue an injunction and stop the entire process upon receipt of the paperwork, or he can send it up to the entire body.
Nobody. What happens when a conservative defies a conservative?
I don't know. That's like out of Star Trek. That's something involving antimatter, I think. I'm not sure.
It's going to happen. I mean, they're turning on one another.
Well, yeah, and Kennedy had the chance to stop the thing in its tracks until it could be fully heard by the Supreme Court. He didn't do it. You know, so, well, what does this say about, you know, it's a dead thing. Conservatism is dead. Conservatism is death.
Yeah,
you know, I have no
respect. The bad thing about it is what's going to come from that is going to be even worse.
Well, God help them if the Republicans try to shove through the nuclear option now in the Senate. Because the American people are just a little bit chapped at all of this. And that kind of a cynical power move will generate hysteria.
What brings
as it should.
More what brings more death than a culture of life?
Apparently not much.
It's twisted, my man.
It is. Gotta hit the break, Chris. Thanks so much, man.
Take care, bro.
Tell your daughter to keep working on the jokes. Yeah, it's important. I mean, the kind of wordplay in the brain it fosters the hardwiring in a young mind. And yes, George Bush is straight out of hell with the rest of these clowns. Oh, by the way, apparently someone's on their way to hell. We'll talk about that when we get back. This is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Health officials have declared rabies epidemic in Greenbrier County. In the last 13 months, health officials have reported 6 cases of rabies in that county, including 4 skunks, a cat, and horse. Greenbrier sanitarian Amanda Grimm said Monday that rabies has spread all over the county. Health officials have believed rabid skunks may have transferred the illness to the original animals. A skunk found on the farm located behind the state fairgrounds also tested positive for rabies. In February, a skunk ripped the jaw off another lamb during an attack, and that skunk escaped and could not be found. Grimm said the problem could worsen during the warm weather, given the amount of rabies that has been seen this winter. State senators are considering a bill that would allow private developers to enter into agreements with local public service districts for the construction of new water and sewer plants. In January, a Public Service Commission administrative law judge ruled that a deal between developers and the Jefferson County Public Service District violated state law. Normally, a utility must apply for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity form from the PSC before a sewage treatment plant can be built. President Bush could be bringing the battle over Social Security to West Virginia. Reports say the president will stop in Parkersburg next Tuesday to promote his Social Security plan. The president has been stumping across the country for the past few weeks, attempting to sell his proposal to overhaul the entire Social Security system. Union Carbide, a subsidiary of Dow Chemical, has contracted with Synergy Solutions to build and operate a generating plant that would provide steam for the South Charleston Technology Park. The plant would be capable of producing up to 90,000 pounds of steam per hour. That's the news. Here's the nice forecast. Rest of this evening, partly cloudy, clearing. Tonight, clear, except for some areas of fog in low-lying sections, with tonight's low near 40. And then tomorrow, areas of fog and low-lying sections in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny, with tomorrow's high near 75. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
After 3 years of organizing and a 10-day hunger strike, workers at Georgetown University claimed a living wage victory last week. Jack Mahoney is a member of the Georgetown Living Wage Coalition, who helped coordinate the campaign. Mahoney says that although they didn't get every single thing they were looking for, it's a victory because campus workers will begin receiving $13 per hour in July of this year and $14 by July 2007. That's up from the current $11.33 per hour.
And there's also all sorts of non-monetary benefits like freedom of association guarantees and grievance procedures that are set up formally now that will be great materially for workers in the future.
More than 20 students took part in the hunger strike that ended when Georgetown President John J. DeGoya announced a new policy on Wednesday that reflected many of the concessions sought by the coalition.
If you ever needed a self-defense manual on the job to assert your rights against abuses by the boss, Labor Notes can supply it. A Troublemaker's Handbook 2, How to Fight Back Where You Work, Work and Win is designed to empower workers looking for tactics to win justice on the job. Editor Jane Slaughter says more than 70 authors tell their stories and share their expertise on collective tactics workers anywhere can use.
It's a collection of examples of people who have done just that. People who, in their own workplaces, usually through their unions, although not always, have used all sorts of tactics to keep management from doing things like speeding them up, privatizing their jobs.
The struggle for power at the workplace, Slaughter says, is about more than money and working conditions. It's about who makes society's most fundamental decisions that govern our lives.
Well, we at LaborNotes hope that it will encourage people that they can take some measure of control over their working lives.
LaborNotes hopes this book will inspire workers everywhere to organize, fight back, and win.
A probe into Walmart's finances has resulted in a board member resigning over inconsistencies of nearly $500,000. The probe was initiated by the world's largest retailer and resulted in Thomas Coughlin, the former CEO of the company's store division, being asked to step down from his position. A report from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is unclear as to what role Coughlin had with the discrepancies. Last month, the company's hometown of Bentonville, Arkansas, announced plans to name the new public library after Coughlin.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Women workers in the U.S. suffer a disproportionately high number of ergonomic injuries on the job, costing them more money and more time off the job, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Upper body injuries suffered by women workers most commonly affect the wrists, shoulders, and elbows, neck, hands, and back. Workers most affected by these injuries tend to be in lower wage jobs. Women account for 64% of repetitive motion injuries, while making up just 44% of the workforce. And women get more carpal tunnel injuries than men, as well as more tendonitis. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Oh, about 23 minutes before 8 o'clock. Who's on the way to hell? You thought I was over the top when I said the wing nuts are out to destroy the school system in America. Check this out. From one of America's very favorite demonic princes. And this is the quote. I hope I live to see... Now, let's do this right. I hope I live to see the day when, as in the early days of our country, we won't have any public schools. The churches will have taken them over again, and Christians will be running them. What a happy day that will be. The Reverend Jerry Falwell in America Can Be Saved, 1979, pages 52 and 53. Well, suffice to say, the Reverend Demon Falwell just may not get his wish. His fat, bloated, jolly self is back in the hospital again, and interestingly enough, he requires a machine to do his breathing for him. More of that science stuff. More of that stuff that was developed by atheists and Jews and Muslims and all those people that he's so sure are taking the world to hell. Relying on science. What's he doing in the hospital? Why is Jerry Falwell in the hospital? He should be sitting there at home, and somebody should be laying hands on him and pouring strychnine down his throat and letting the snakes slither all over him. What's Jerry Falwell doing in the hospital? Well, any way you slice it, I remain convinced that the most well-developed power of Almighty God lies in his, her, its sense of profound irony. Falwell, on a breathing machine, with a garden hose down his throat, unable to speak. Yes, Virginia, there is a God, and he still gets around to striking down the occasional monster. And this from email. Now, the phone number, by the way, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-629-9967. This from David number 4. We're growing growing. We're growing in our Davids. We've got four Davids now. This is from a new one, David number four. Things we learned from the Terry Schiavo case. Number one, Jeb Bush, George W. Bush, and Tom DeLay are all world-renowned neurologists. Two, 22 successive court battles that all ended in exactly the same way means there is something wrong with the courts, not with the Schindler's case. Three, Michael Schiavo is after money, which is why he turned down $1 million and $10 million to sign over guardianship. Four, Congress and the state legislature of Florida have nothing better to do than pry into the private medical affairs of others. Five, pulling life support is bad in Florida when authorized by the legal next of kin, but pulling life support is good in Texas when you run out of money and the mother pleads not to pull the plug on her baby. Six, medical diagnoses are best performed by watching highly edited videotape made by Randall Terry rather than in person by trained physicians. Seven, minimum wage making nursing assistants are more qualified to diagnose a persistent vegetative state than experienced neurologists. Eight, cerebral spinal fluid is a magical potion that can mimic the entire functions of a missing cerebral cortex. Nine, 15 years in the same persistent state is not really enough time to make an accurate diagnosis. 10. A feeding tube that infuses yellow nutritional goop is not really life support. 11. Jesus was wrong when he said that a man and woman should leave their parents and cleave only to each other. 12. Marriage is the most sacred of all unions, except when it isn't. 13. Interfering in a family's private tragedy is a great reason to cut short a vacation, but getting a memo that warns a known terrorist is determined to strike inside the U.S. is cause to relax and finish up a little rest and recreation. 14. Pro-lifers are really compassionate people, which is why they're hoping that Michael Schiavo dies a horrible, painful death, and they're soliciting his murder on the Internet. 15. The Supreme Court of the United States and the State Supreme Court of Florida mean maybe when they're saying no. 16. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia is a bleeding heart liberal. 17. Seven Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republican presidents, so therefore this is all a liberal problem and it's all Clinton's fault. And 18. And finally, a judge who makes rulings based on the law is obviously an atheist liberal democratic activist, even though he's a conservative Republican Southern Baptist, as is the case with Judge Greer. That's a lot of learning out of one little media circus. Now, let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Jim? Oh, well. So, here's what you're... Okay, we've got Jim. Try again. Yeah, there you are, Jim.
I've been right here.
Oh, okay.
Where have you been?
We were sitting here. Jim. Yeah. But at any rate, you're there now.
Good. HW Hockey Fix. When are you going to talk about something important?
Yes.
I mean, my gosh, don't you hear about Brittany maybe with child?
Jesus, no.
Or the Olsen twins have sold their $7.5 million apartment in Manhattan without having living in it?
Oh, I thought you were going to say they sold their souls.
Or Paula and Paris Hilton, or whatever their names are mad because of that movie that was made by, what's his face?
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, White Chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, getting down to serious points, I was listening to all your points, and I thought to myself, what Kumar Saul said to Wilson after he explained his 14 points.
God had only 10.
God himself had 10.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, this whole thing is just getting kind of ridiculous with all this stuff. And, you were going back to some of the earlier stuff in your earlier, I guess, your monologue when you first started on the air.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to confess to something. When I was a kid, small kid, and I was in something like a Christmas thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my evil, twisted sister, well, had slipped these words in there in my script, and they brought him gifts of frankincense and myrrh and a whip and sampler. and I'll catch it for that.
Oh, yeah, I can well imagine. I'm sure I'll get some hateful email over Apocalyptic Aid, too.
Well, you know, you say Falwell is on a respirator?
According to ABC News' report this afternoon, he's on a ventilator, and he is in critical condition.
Well, you know, well, what can you say? I mean, you hear so many, you don't know what to believe now, but I did hear a neurologist discuss this, Ms. Schiavo.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, the cerebral cortex dies without oxygen within 4 to 6 minutes.
Right.
Now, the lower functions of the brain, towards the brain stem, it basically controls the housekeeping functions like, I guess, heartbeat, respiration, bowel, bladder, that type. It can do without oxygen for maybe 15 to 16 minutes at the max before those cells die.
Yeah, that's kind of a cruelty in the design phase, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, I don't know how long, you know, this lady has been in this comatose state for such a long period of time, and yet you have all these people saying that she's doing all these miraculous things.
Well, I think,
and,
you know,
53% of the American people, including most of your evangelicals, they just don't believe they're getting the true bill on this thing.
Well, of course they're not. A thing has to stay in the public consciousness for a significant period of time before it becomes financially viable. It's kind of like the growth of a fetus. Viability becomes an issue. And now that it's been out there for a couple of weeks, day in and day out, it's financially viable, and the Schindlers can finally make a buck off of it.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be doing the lecture circuit, and a book will be ghost written for them.
The email list.
The direct
marketing list. It's the Schindler's list. They're selling it to people who are going to use it for email marketing and direct mail and telemarketing.
Oh, the people who have emailed them, they're going to sell the list to people who called them. Or contacted them.
Yeah, they're selling that list. Schindler's list.
Well, you know, it's people will huckster anything, won't they?
Yeah, they will, but that's really offensive.
Well, yeah, of course it is. But, I mean, with people like this, considering some of the stuff that I've seen and heard down there, they don't know the real definition of the word offensive.
It comes out today that Mr. Schindler bumped off his mama, you know, pulled the plug on her, decided she didn't need to live anymore. And yet, the only difference here is that there was $1 million trust fund from the medical malpractice settlement, and, you know, because of that, Terry had to live. This is greed. This is not anything, you know, Jesus Christ could appear down in front of that hospice, and Randall Terry would swear that he was a liberal.
Well, did you see where this professor or a teacher at a Bible college tried to break the police cordon?
Yes, I did.
And they had a taser him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that got his attention.
Oh, but you want the one that really turned my stomach, Jim? Jesse Jackson.
What's he doing down there? I mean, what's his gig in all this?
Beats the hell out of me. I don't know, except for the fact that if there's a, you know, apparently if there's an open microphone, Jesse's there. I mean, I support a lot of the same causes he supports, but going down and huckstering around with this with these dirty cretins is wrong.
Well, let me ask you something. If they were to give her back to her parents, say, "Do will what thou wish," what could they do?
I'll tell you what they'd do. They would put her in another hospice somewhere, and when the crowd died down, they'd say, "Pull the plug." That's what they'd do, Jim.
And start the whole thing over again?
No, not start the whole thing over again. Let her die.
Okay.
Because what would happen is if they got guardianship of her, they would then, by definition, get what they perceive to be as guardianship of the money, and that is what it's about.
How much money are we talking about here?
What? Yeah, we've talked about it before. Maybe 40, 50 grand?
Yeah, because we calculated it out.
Yeah.
So all this for just 40 or 50 large.
Yeah. Let's see. Six.
Yeah, we did. We got it for $40,000 because we calculated $5,000 a month in 15 to 16 years.
Yeah, and when you factor in the she's already on Medicaid, which means that there's, you know, there can't be much money left under the drawdown.
Oh no, no, no! Once the money's out, you're gone.
So, you know, the one I don't know. Maybe they'd transfer her to Texas, and they could say the money's all run out, and then the state would kill her for them.
Well, I just wondered, you know, what would happen if, in fact, the parents were to get their wishes. I mean, that's what they've been militating for.
They'd insert the feeding tube long enough to make the mouth breathing idiots happy, and then when the hoopla died down, you'd get a press release that she had peacefully expired in her sleep after receiving extreme unction.
I see. By the way, speaking of calculating some money, I understand that Mrs. Bush is going to Afghanistan for a 5-hour visit with some local educators.
Oh, God. How much is that going to cost us?
Okay, let's see. When you put Air Force One in the air, we know we talked about that.
$750,000 an hour.
Right, so if you say, if you're going to go the direct route, if you went commercial from Washington to Islamabad, that would be 18 hours.
Yeah.
So let's say Air Force One could take the most direct route possible. It could go halfway around the world without refueling. We're talking about, say, 14-hour trip, yeah, maybe?
Sure.
And a 14-hour trip back for 5 hours costs the taxpayer $21 million.
For Laura Bush to talk to school teachers.
For 5 hours. Now, I want you to tell me, where is the ROI or return on investment on that?
Where's the fiscal conservatism?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, since they're the ones who believe in having return on your investments.
Well, the return on your investment, Jim, is in all the pretty photographs of her sitting there with women, with the hoods pulled off their burqas. And it gets splattered all over the media, and, you know, pro-education First Lady Laura Bush.
So the ROI is a photo op.
Yeah, sure.
It is. That just doesn't compute in my world. Let me ask you one more thing, and I'll let you go here.
Sure.
On the PSTOP property registration thing, now, does that start tonight?
No. You had to register by noon today.
Well, I did that.
Okay, so then when you go to your email, they send you a thing back.
I've got it.
And you choose the time that you prefer to participate.
On what date is this? Tomorrow?
Yeah. And there's 6:30 to 8:30. There's 9:30 to 11:30.
Yeah, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, 4
to
6.
Give you a username, password, and then, of course, the address.
Right.
Well, that should be an interesting experience. It's going to take 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm all signed up.
Yeah, they sent my email back today, and I registered yesterday. Well, for whatever good it'll do, I hope it'll do some good. But
yeah.
But like I say, I just don't understand all this business about the shy of a woman. But it is ironic. And they're talking about putting in some type of fee mechanism to the Pope.
Yeah. And you've just got to... And that makes perfect sense, too. Because that, you know... That way, when he slides downhill toward, you know, his persistent vegetative state, Jim, they can yell about how it's a culture of life, or whatever that is, Evangelium Vitae.
Well, that's basically what the culture of life is based on. Is that encyclical that came out in February of 1995.
Right.
Evangelium Vitae, exactly.
And what they'll do is they'll keep him alive artificially. He can't make any pronouncements. He can't. He won't be able to speak. He won't be. He'll just be laying there. And you'll have people who are...
Well, the Curia will take over.
Right, the Curia will indeed take over.
They already have.
And they will act with impunity. And they can blame it all on the guy laying in the bed who can't talk or think. And then
well,
they'll
that's
talk
not the way it should be.
I mean,
I'm not a Catholic, but I mean, it would appear to me as though you would not keep the head or the spiritual or what they consider to be Christ's vicar on earth in that condition when he could not act or speak for his own accord.
Well, no. A few hundred years ago when the Pope got that way, the Curia went in and smothered him with a pillow. Because somebody wanted the job.
Well, there have been, You know, there is an interesting book called Hitler's Pope by Robert Cornwell. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. About, what is it, Pius the...
Pius the 11th.
Yeah.
And it was really an... I've read the book. I have it. I bought it on Amazon.com a couple of years ago, and it was just... It just blew your mind, actually. It really did.
Yeah, and that's why hearing these friars and so forth go on about the culture of life, it really doesn't resonate with me, because... there was a time when there was a real need for a culture of life, and the church was hopelessly complicit in having, you know, Jews and dissidents shipped off to the death camps.
Oh, and not to mention some of the other stuff they pulled, too. Well, they all have.
Yeah.
Going back to this nasogastric competing tube, this stuff and what people consider just...
Well, there's nasogastric, but what they're talking about with the Pope and with Terry Schiavo is...
abdominal.
Yeah, a direct incision through the navel and into the stomach.
Well, now, you know, the stuff they put in there, it's just not, you know, chopped up oat bran and water.
No, it's medical goo.
I mean, there was a Supreme Court decision that came out in 1990 about that, that said that this particular solution, and it's an extremely delicate solution and very well balanced solution. I mean, thank God it is. But it's designed to just do more than, you know, provide a person with water.
No, it's complete nutritional support of, you know, all the vitamins, all the minerals. There's some, you know, there's fat involved. There's starches and proteins, and yeah, it is complete nutritional support.
Well, you know, and the other question I want to ask is this: now, how long is a person supposed to be able to survive without water?
Without water?
Uh-huh.
3 days.
And how long has this woman gone without water?
13 days.
It's just amazing to me. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And with, and according to these people, they want to give her ice chips or whatever like that.
Yeah, she choked to death on them. And her mouth is being swabbed out. I mean, that's my understanding of the standard of care with somebody like that. You swab the mouth and, you know, but that's not giving, they can't give her water because she would choke to death. She cannot swallow. You know, the Pope can't swallow anymore. That's why they're talking about doing this to it.
Really, he can't swallow anymore.
That was the report I read this evening.
Well, okay. Well, listen, tomorrow is the time when you go online.
Right.
Well, listen, I thank you, and I wish you a very pleasant evening.
You too, Jim.
Have a nice broadcast.
All right, thanks so much. Thanks for bringing up so many issues. I appreciate it.
Well, just whatever is gurgling in my mind.
I know from the gurgling. Take care.
Okay.
All right, we've got a break coming up we need to take. Time for the news at the top of the hour from ABC. Are you all Schiavo'd out? I am. I got to admit, I am. But if not, we can talk about that or anything else for that matter. I've got a stack here. You're just going to love it. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Braxton. Nothing to wear? Wear red and go red for women. I've gone red because heart disease is the number one killer in women, and most women don't even know it. Make a statement. Go red for women. Call the American Heart Association at 1-888-MY-HEART.
I'm Frank Abagnale. You might have seen some of my scams in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Fake insurance policies are scams, and they're on the rise. But fighting fake insurance is simple. Know what to look for and catch it because you can. For more information, visit NAIC.org or call your state insurance department.
number 1,200,000.
This year, United Way helped provide quality child care for over a million families.
Number 1,200,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter.
700,900.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we foster, the communities we unite.
Jim.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way or log on to unitedway.org.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 5.5 minutes after 8, Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. If you want, you can always email. I should throw that out there just as a reminder. Bob@headonradio.com. Or here in the studio, it even works sometimes, WWNR@netphase.net. Interesting article at Common Dreams, a column by Arianna Huffington, who has some rather trenchant observations on the Schiavo affair. She takes it, and she starts out by saying this column is not about Terri Schiavo and the wrenching spectacle that has surrounded her tragic fate. May she rest in peace. Amen. Then she moves on and says, it is about congressional Democrats and how they once again pathetically misread what moral values mean in a political context. May they miraculously wake from their persistent vegetative state, or it won't be long before they are receiving their political last rites. Of course, you remember we talked about what happened in the Senate when all the Senate Democrats ran like scared bunnies away from the possibility to stop to stand up for what American people, it turns out, believed in, that Congress had no business mucking around in the private family matters of people beset by tragedy. But, you know, the Senate Democrats ran and hid. She writes some interesting stuff here. Like I said, you can go to commondreams.org and read it for yourself. She says, being steamrolled by the Republicans or dancing on Terri Schiavo's grave were not the only two options open to Democrats. If they hadn't been running around hiding from their own shadows, they would have easily found a larger moral frame in which to put the fight over Schiavo's fate. If the Republicans insist on making the culture of life a federal issue, the Democrats should, by all means, let them. But they need to make sure that the national debate doesn't center on tragic anomalies like the Schiavo case, but on the thousands of people whose lives are cut short because they lack access to decent health care, or on the prolonged suffering of the millions of children living in poverty. Instead of allowing themselves to be cowed by the fear of looking like they're coming down on the immoral side of the moral values debate, Democrats should snap out of it and demand that the president interrupt... Oh, this is good. Demand that the president interrupt his next vacation and that Bill Frist hold another midnight session of Congress, along with Tom DeLay, to address the moral disgrace of 45 million people with no health insurance and 36 million people living in poverty. What do you think of that? The argument is very strong that we missed the boat again because we were afraid of being browbeaten by Jerry Falwell. Don't think he's going to be doing much browbeating anymore. You know that Jerry Falwell once said that Billy Graham is the agent of Satan? And he did. He really, really did. But we let this one go by us again and miss it. You know, the national media was almost as silent as the grave on the comments by Tom DeLay to the Family Research Council. They were silent on almost silent on the memo. This is a great issue for Republicans because it's a tough issue for Democrats. And doggone it. It gets a little bit tiresome sometimes watching my party just get run over out of not because we don't have any good ideas. We got lots of good ideas. But because we're afraid to advance them. Where are the Democrats like Harry Truman when they said, "Give them hell, Harry," and he said, "I don't give them hell, I give them the truth," and they think it's hell. Where are those people? Where are the people that are willing to stand up for real family values? Because the Republicans will never stand up for family values. The Republicans will stand up getting their shell-shocked culture war troops out there with a promise that abortion is evil. And the stupidity of asserting that there are pro-abortion people in this country when, of course, there are not. I have never met a single solitary pro-abortion person. In this state, where is the Democratic Party when we need to be talking about why we're blowing up mountains with 3 million pounds of explosives per day? You know, we're having the Mountain Justice Summer kickoff on Thursday. I wonder if any Democrats will dare to stand shoulder to shoulder with people who advance Democratic ideals and democratic values of the middle class of working people and the rights of people to be secure in their own homes. You know, showing leadership during the Schiavo debacle is not best manifested by the Jesse Jackson going to Pinellas Park and pandering with Mr. and Mrs. Schindler. It was just pitiful. I don't know how you fix this, unless it is to say that somebody's got to have enough nerve to stand up and warn my party that we have got to stand up. And you've heard me talk about the Stump Licker Bunch. This is classic Stump Licker Bunch the tactics down there in Pinellas Park, the slobs. They came out and punched, and we didn't punch back, and we didn't call them the hypocrites that they are. And all of America was begging for us to do so. The Republican Party has had its rubber mask pulled off, and we see them for the evil influence that they are on the body politic of America. We see them for the nasty creeps that they are, wanting to inject themselves into our bedrooms, into our hospital rooms, into every family decision that we have to make. And where is my party? Where is my party? Not ready for duty? It's embarrassing. The Democrats, having gone MIA, were unable to ride the tidal wave of public sentiment yet again. for years now. They have failed to grasp that when it comes to their party's core issues, including providing affordable health care, protecting the environment, safeguarding Social Security, gun control, and basic abortion rights, they are on the same side of the fence as the majority of Americans. And yet we stand there and we won't fight. What does it take to put some starch into us? You know, there's a vacuum here. When will someone stand up and lead? When will someone... Yeah, Alan Mollahan in the 3rd Congressional District has stood up to these congressional Republican thugs. He stood up in the Ethics Committee. Bless his heart. When will someone stand up and lead? And no, in case you're wondering, on a local level, leading does not include trying to make sure that nobody can ever sue an insurance company again. That's not leadership. I got a list of what's not leadership here. Locally. Voting 30-4 to approve a measure that says West Virginia's official language is English is not leadership. Advancing tongue-splitting bills through the legislature is not leadership. Listen to this story. Headline, Senate votes to make English official language. What are they doing in there? Senators voted 30-4 to approve the measure. The proposal says no state agency would be required to provide documents, information, or literature in any language other than English. But the bill does not prohibit any agency or political subdivision from providing materials not printed in English. Does that rub you the wrong way? Does that sound like something that needs to be done right now? Is that something that's just pressing on the legislative agenda for a dynamic West Virginia open for business? What, we're open for business for everybody except people who speak Spanish? And we're paying for this? Oy. Listen, let's take a break. We'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
You've heard it all before. Lose weight while you sleep, erase your debts instantly, or make a fortune in your spare time. How about this one? Slash construction wages and 4 schools can be built for the price of 3. Ridiculous? Of course. Study after study proves that wage cuts won't reduce school construction costs. In fact, wage cuts hurt local companies and damage our communities. So don't believe everything you hear until you've heard the fact. A message from the ACT Foundation.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Okay. The English is going to be the official language of West Virginia. One wonders when we will learn to speak it. This makes me crazy. What did George Bernard Shaw say? The English barely comprehend the English language, and the Americans have yet to try to speak it. Something like that. This is just embarrassing. What's the Senate there for? This. And there's lots of non-leadership. Let's see. the upskirting bill. Yeah, okay. Increasing parental notification requirements for little girls who need abortions. Brother, it's disheartening. This is what our tax dollars are going to support? Who out there has been you know who's been lobbying over the English as the official language thing. That has got to be some sort of conservative cook job. That's one of their pet projects. They want to make sure that nothing's printed in Spanish in anywhere in America, so that them Spaniards won't know how, them Hispanicers won't know how to dial 911. We ain't going to print 911 in Spanish. Taylor got it. She's sitting there going, 911, it's a number. But we ain't going to print 911 in Spanish. It costs too much money. Let's go back to the phones. Mary Lou's with us. Hey, Mary Lou, you're head on.
How are you, Bob?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm fine. I heard everybody talking about Terry Schiavo again.
Mm-hmm.
I heard on CNN, let's see, it was real early, Saturday morning. Bob, she has held on too long to have been in very bad shape.
Oh, she was in physically good shape. It's her brain that's shot.
Well, so they say. So they say, but I still say that they don't know. It's like, I'm sure you heard about the Jessica Lunsford story. Okay. Come to find it out, her daddy was the one who left the door unlocked.
Oh, wouldn't you hate to live with that one on your conscience?
Wouldn't you, though? Wouldn't you, though? But now, I personally think that what her husband's doing, the money has run out, or she wouldn't be in hospital, or it's hospice, or it is running out. And he knows that those medical bills pile up in every state. In every state, they will get their money, and he don't want to have to pay that, Bob, because he's bought all these things. This
Mary Lou, you're just, I mean. I fail to understand why you're so willing to vilify this man when there's no evidence against him.
Because it's a right for life, Bob. You take an oath when you're a nurse that you'll do everything you do. And they're talking about those feeding tubes. All it is some, you put in Shore down, which has every vitamin.
On a nasogastric tube, it's a different story with the one straight into the abdomen, isn't it?
No. Feeding tube's a feeding tube, Bob. You can put baby food down it, ensure a special formula that they've got made up, everything. I still think that, and when you're 26 years old, what she was, Bob, you don't talk about when you've been 26. At 26, you think you're going to live forever.
Well, at 26, I was talking about this stuff, Mary Lou, to be quite honest, because...
Well, not me. I thought it was forever, and that...
I grew
it
up
was
during,
always going to be somebody else, not me.
I grew up during Karen Quinlan, and I saw that fight.
Well, I did too, Bob.
And I saw the fight over Nancy Cruzon.
Yeah, well, I did too, but I still always thought it was going to be somebody else, not me. I mean, now, all I'm saying is, in all the courts and judges ruled in his behalf, and in his, against the family, and it was all on hearsay.
Well, no.
Hearsay that he said that she didn't want to live like that. But yet they did not one of them others heard her say that. And it was
but they had no, but people. they had no evidence to the contrary, Mary Lou.
Well, it was they just had no word evidence, of mouth like what he
they had no evidence to suggest that poor human being would want to lay there in a fetal ball with her brain reduced to nothing but jello. And that anyone would that she would consider that to be living, and that she would want to live in that fashion.
Well, I would think that when this autopsy does come in, he better pray to God that that brain is jello.
Well, prayer won't change it, Mary Lou. But the CT scans are there, the MRIs are there, and they show a dead brain.
Yeah, did you hear the nurse on there early Saturday morning? And I'll only spell three letters of it. The nurse that took care of her in the hospital where he was paying big money for before she went to hospice, the nurse said he used to come in and say, has that B-I-T, and there's only two more words left, letters left, and he'd say, has she died yet?
Well, you know, there's, but look what you're relying on, Mary Lou. You just said that that hearsay was wrong to rely on, and there you are relying on hearsay.
Well, yeah, but see, that's where the question is. There's a question mark that there was some hope there. Some good neurosurgeon needed to say there is no hope. That I did not hear nobody board certified with those qualifications.
Oh, mercy. There's been neurologist after neurologist after neurologist say that, some paid for by the state, some paid for by Mr. Schiavo, that have come in and put, I mean, I've seen footage of it. They've put up her brain scans. They've put up her EMGs. They've put up her CT scans and her MRIs, and they pointed to it and said, this brain can't get well.
I know he's going to win this battle because he's the husband. I know that. But that nurse said that she used to sit at the nurse's station and say hello and hi to everybody that come in. So, you know, there's red flags.
Not for me. Not for me, because this is a family decision, and I was raised to sort of, you know, family decisions were important. And, you know, the Bible says that a man shall leave his mother and cleave unto his wife.
Well, that's true.
And
that's true, but there are people who want to deny people their rights because they have went on with their life, Bob. And there would be a little trouble and a little money involved.
No, there's no one's denying any rights, though. No less than 30 judges have reviewed this case in order to make sure that every I was dotted and every T was crossed and that everyone's rights were scrupulously observed. Now, you know, all those people have reviewed these judges, and these are not stupid men or women, and oddly enough, they have all sided with Michael Schiavo. At what point do we say that the system works? You know,
it's all based on dollars and cents, and Medicaid won't pay but for so many days, and then so many days they won't.
Medicaid's been paying for months.
Well, I know. That's why I say.
You know,
was cut off.
Medicaid is still paying. She is still on Medicaid. Now, if she was in Texas, where George Bush signed that law in 1999, she would have been unplugged after 10 days if she didn't have any further money. Just like that, just like they killed that little six-month-old baby boy in Texas.
Oh, I know. I heard all about that, and then he killed all those inmates.
Yeah.
And whether they were guilty or whether they weren't.
So these people have no credibility with me whatsoever when they talk about a right to life. I mean, here's this Randall
Perry.
That's
what Jesse Jackson's doing down there, and you better believe it's right to life.
Well, I see it as a shameless case of pandering down there.
No, he's down there after the Democratic vote.
But what's he running for down there?
Nobody. He's just helping whoever's running for the Democrats in 2008. But
the funny thing is, America, by a wide margin, Mary Lou, disagrees with...
Yeah. By him being a preacher, I do not think that Jesse would want to deny that water and that food, Bob.
Well, they're not denying anything.
Yes, they are, Bob.
Because to deny, Mary Lou, to deny something, and a statement has to be made to affirmatively wish to have it.
How
okay?
They will get it down, or she can't swallow.
No.
The tubes took out.
Mary Lou, dear, you're missing the point. In order to have a denial, you have to have a request in front of it. She has made no such request. She is unable to make that request. I mean, for my part, if I were in her shoes and was, and the only request I would make would be that I could complete the life process, because death is a part of life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it happens every day, every minute in the house.
And it happens to thousands of Americans every day, and we don't call Congress into session over each one of those individuals. This Republican Congress couldn't care less about whether or not an old lady with a feeding tube somewhere in Oklahoma has Medicare to keep her alive. This is pure stinking rotten politics, and I
if Terry had Medicare, they would still have that much support.
She has Medicare.
No, I said Medicare, not Medicaid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, she can't have Medicare because
she's not old enough.
Right, but she can have Medicaid, and it's still paying.
Well, like I say. I just see red flags there, and he better hope that autopsy shows all this stuff that he's telling.
Oh, I have no doubt that it will. Because if he didn't have that autopsy done, the Schindlers would, in an effort to make more money out of this, they would dig her up and swear that there was evidence of murder.
Well, there's just a few there that went on there, and I can understand that if he threw books and come in cussing and everything like that nurse did. You know, when things, you know, you don't hear families talk like that when somebody's dying, Bob.
Well, you know, the other thing you don't hear is you don't hear your in-laws telling you to hurry up and go start dating and start
a new life so
they can have the money.
No, you're supposed to work together.
Right, and they didn't. They told him to go start dating. They told him to enter into a new relationship, that she was never going to get better, and that he was only tormenting himself. So,
and then I don't know of anybody who went on with her life who didn't give that person back to their family. It's like when they die, when you move out of state and you die, the spouses will let the family have it to bring them back home to bury them
in
the family cemetery.
Mary Lou, I can't help but look at this and
in a different way.
No.
You're looking at it a different way, but I see it a different way. And I've heard all that stuff said, and there's just red flags everywhere.
Well, they're there for me, I know for a fact that the one thing that motivates a Republican more than anything else, Mary Lou, is pure, naked, shameless greed, and it is greased all over this case.
Yes.
And that's what makes me very skeptical of the Schindlers, and I am as certain as I can be of tomorrow's sunrise that if they got custody of Terry Schiavo, they would quietly pull the feeding tube from her a couple of months from now when there wasn't anybody watching, and they would say that she quietly died. Because this isn't about anything but pure greed and pure money.
I don't think her mother would do that, Bob. A mother is not going to let their child down.
Well, they pulled the plug on her.
They're going to hold on to life as long as they can.
She was sitting there right by her husband when he decided to pull the plug on his mama.
Well, she probably couldn't do anything with him. You know, that wasn't her family, so she felt like she just didn't say anything about it. But yet
she certainly didn't advocate in favor of life then. We're out of time, though, Mary Lou.
Okay,
thanks so much for calling.
Have a good night.
Bye now. All right, time for our bottom of the hour break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. HCA Incorporated is planning to sell off 10 hospitals, including Raleigh General. Chairman Jack Bovender Jr. says the sale will allow HCA to focus on urban markets. HCA is also selling other West Virginia operations that include St. Francis Charleston, St. Joseph's Parkersburg, and also Putnam General in Hurricane. Raleigh General CEO Karen Bowling says that while the news comes as a shock to some, it's still business as usual. She says Raleigh General is a healthy hospital whose volume has grown in the past few years and will continue to do so.
We're going to be very attractive for someone to come in to purchase, especially if the company is interested in rural facilities. You know, it could be an advantage to us to be able to, you know, get additional capital to invest in the facility. So, you know, I expect a very smooth transition. I expect everything to go well once there's an identified buyer. We have great employees. We do a great job with our patients. And so, you know, we're a community asset. We're very important to this community and I expect to continue to be.
Karen Bowling at Raleigh General. Bowling says no potential buyers have yet been identified. Union Carbide, a subsidiary of Dow Chemical, has contracted with Synergy Solutions to build and operate a generating plant that would provide steam for the South Charleston Tech Center. The plant will be capable of producing up to 90,000 pounds of steam per hour. It's scheduled to be completed and open by July. And finally, data collected by the State Department of Education shows that only 8% of West Virginia school children spent more time on school buses last year than agency guidelines recommend. But supporters of stricter limits challenged the data because it was self-reported by counties, and when rides exceeded state guidelines, the counties did not indicate by how much. That's the news. Now here's the nice forecast. Mostly sunny or partly sunny this evening, then tonight clear except for some areas of fog in low-lying sections, low 40. Tomorrow morning fog in those same low-lying sections, and then mostly sunny and a high near 75. Then for Thursday, a chance of showers later in the afternoon, mostly cloudy in the afternoon, but still a high Thursday even, near 70. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Whatever happened to three strikes and you're out? It's time to apply it to Tom DeLay, who's the de facto boss of Congress and the GOP's hammer for extracting protection money from corporations that want their legislation passed. Also, this little legislative titan is so crooked he makes a corkscrew look straight. In just the past 12 months, he's gotten three admonitions from the House Ethics Committee for his violations of the rules. This is amazing, for Congress's standards of crookedness are so low that it really takes an extraordinary act of arrogance to be charged, and the committee is so toothless that it only gums a guilty party. Still, Tom was so upset by the three gummings he got that he has now imposed rules and membership changes on the Ethics Committee that essentially reduces it to the wink and nod committee. One of his hand-picked new members is his close Texas buddy, Representative Lamar Smith, who, get this, is also a contributor to Tom's legal defense fund. DeLay needs a legal defense fund because he's in danger of being indicted in Texas for a political scheme that illegally laundered corporate money into state legislative races. Two of his top aides already have been indicted. Guess who helped raise money for Tom's scheme? Lamar Smith. But that's not all. DeLay faces new ethics embarrassments as a result of his quid pro quo relationship with some sleazeball lobbyists and for overseas junkets illegally financed by agents of a foreign government. However, even though Tom brags that he's a take-charge leader, he's not one to take any responsibility. He whines that underlings did any dirty work in these cases, or that he's a sad victim of political persecution. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think it's time for this walking scandal to be ousted from national leadership, join the grassroots effort by Public Campaign Action Fund. Go to www.pcactionfund.org/withoutdelay/.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 22 minutes before 9 o'clock. Yeah, it's flying by again. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. great minds think alike. Kelly was emailing even as I started talking about the businesses of the English as a second... No, English as the only language in West Virginia. No, who am I kidding? It's English as a second language. Kelly writes, Senate Bill 684 reduces the severance tax rate on natural gas drilling, but that's okay because thanks to Senate Bill 12, English is the official language of the state of West Virginia, and just as was predicted, the pregnant woman assault bill has led to further intrusion into women's reproductive rights on the state level with Senate Bill 533. Yeah. Oh, my God. Back up to Senate Bill 684 reducing the severance tax rate on natural gas drilling. And it applies, unless I'm hallucinating again, it applies to the severance tax on timber as well. Or maybe that's a separate bit of nonsense. But I was reading about the rollback on the severance tax on timber, and this was in the Chasgaz, and way down in the article, you know, way down there, you got to read this stuff pretty carefully because, and you have to sort of sit and let it sink in. Way down in the article was a reference that we were going to cut. Now work with me here. We're going to cut the timber severance tax rate because we upped the timber severance tax rate to pay for the workers' comp bailout. Yeah, make that work for me. We know I'm mathematically challenged, but we raised it to pay for the workers' comp bailout, and now we're going to lower it. Because we raised it for the workers' comp bailout. Because we weren't collecting it to begin with. But way, way down in the article was a statement that members of the timber industry have promised that they will increase attempts at self-policing their organization to make sure that timber cutters no longer engage in the practice known as cut and run. They promise. Really, they do. They promise. I'm guessing they didn't put the promise in writing. And you know what? What did Robert Frost say? Good fences make good neighbors. Written promises make it more likely that you can hold someone, like, say, in the coal or timber or natural gas industry to that promise. Or the insurance industry. Remember, we're going to get $8 a month back on our premiums in exchange for trading away our constitutional rights. And we know we're going to get $8 a month back on our premiums because the insurance industry promises. Really, they do. They promise. Really, they promise. Promise made is a promise kept. But they're not promising in writing. And I'm guessing this promise about policing the cut and runners isn't in writing either. You know it's not. I mean, honest to God, would the legislature actually make someone put a promise in writing that was engaged in business in West Virginia? Would they? No, come on. And yeah, there is another bill out there, another assault on women. And that's what these are. I mean, you do understand that. These are assaults on women. That it's about the waiting period for abortion. And again, as I've said before, I don't know a single pro-abortion person anywhere. I do know, however, some people who know how to mind their own damn business. I know a surprising number of men who recognize that being without a uterus, they can really never stand in the shoes of a woman who has to make this decision. And when you couple all this, there's a lot. Kelly kind of points toward it. You've got to play connect the dots with a lot of this stuff. There's a study out. You know these promise programs, not the promise scholarships, but. You know, the ones where the little teenagers say, I promise I will never have sex until I am married. I will save myself for marriage. Well, the study is out now, and it proves what a lot of us suspected all along, and that is that these abstinence pledges are worth slightly less than the paper that they're printed on or the ink with which they are signed. Because asking teenagers just not to have sex and trusting them not to. I'm not gooning on teenagers. I were one once, you know. But asking a teenager not to have sex, in some instances, is a little like asking them not to breathe. It's like asking a toddler not to toddle. It's what they're going to do. It's kind of human nature. So what you want them to do, what you want to do is teach the teenagers to be smart if they make the choice to have sex. Not to just sit there and go all Nancy Reagan and say, yes, they know. Because when her body's screaming yes and his body's screaming yes, odds are there's going to be some sex. And Nancy Reagan in the background or Laura Pickles Bush in the background going, just say no, y'all. Just say no. It's icky anyway. That's why me and George only had them twins that we had put together in a test tube in the first place. It's nasty, I tell you. Didn't anybody never tell none of you that the skin is the devil's doormat? But no, we're not smart enough to figure out that kind of thing. We don't want to teach children that if they use a condom, they might not get AIDS and die. We don't want to teach teenagers coming into the most sexually active period in their probably in their entire existence that if they use a condom, they might not get chlamydia or pelvic inflammatory disease or genital herpes or genital warts or gonorrhea or syphilis. No, we can't do that because Jesus doesn't like condoms. Merciful God. Did you know that condoms were around in Jesus' day and were freely used? The Egyptians invented them. They made them out of lambskin. Those crafty Egyptians. Maybe that's why there ain't no Egyptians no more. Oh, wait a minute. There's millions of them. Never mind. So a little girl, a teenager, a minor, gets pregnant, and according to the West Virginia legislature, Senate Bill 533, they have to tell their parent, they have to give their parents 48 hours before they can have an abortion. Arguably, even if maybe daddy's the daddy, 48 hours. What's the little kid? Hey, Aunt Mommy? Sister Mommy? It happens. How many counts of incest was the guy from Fayette County charged with last week? It happens. But the West Virginia Senate wants to make sure that Uncle Daddy has to get told. And I think Terry Schiavo's brain dead. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm okay.
God, we got an awful lot of work to do, don't we?
Oh, God.
Jesus, this is frightening. Let me make a statement.
Yeah.
I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
I'm going to be working for the Democratic Party. I may bump into you from time to time on, 2006 is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever see me at the same event as Jesse Jackson, I want you to kick me square in the butt. I mean, my God.
I know.
And you know what makes, I love his son.
Yeah.
And Jesse did a lot of good things, but it's like an old football player. Hang it up, man. Don't make a fool out of yourself.
Don't ruin the statistics. Don't play that next season.
Exactly.
Go out on top.
Right. And I mean, a lot of people I've admired haven't been able to do that. And it bums me out because I lose something for him then,
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Namath. I knew Joe Namath when we went to the same high or different high schools together. How do they say that?
Yeah.
But anyway, I met him. I think he carried on too long.
Well, sure.
If you're, being traded from here to there.
Robin Roberts, that pitched for the Phillies.
Yeah.
Stayed too long.
Muhammad Ali did that.
Stayed too long.
Yeah, I mean, when he went over with the kickboxers.
Oh, yeah.
That was sad. That was sad.
And this is the same thing.
Yes. Yes, it is. And then talking, well, talking about that, and, you know, I don't know, you were making some reference to a family business.
Yeah.
A little bit ago. Or a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, what the, I forget their name,
Schindler's,
you know, what they're going through, that is family business. It's important business.
Yeah.
And it's also, if it's not your family, it's none of your damn business.
How hard, why is that so, well, it's not, most of America understands that, Wayne.
I know.
Where's our party?
Well, that's what I told you. We got a lot of work to do. We got rid of Jesse, so there. Okay, that's good. And I guess so far it's just me and you.
Oh man! But, no, there's a lot more of us.
It's a solid base, I think.
Well,
that's my personal.
Maybe a very small base, but very solid,
right.
All the way to the ground.
But remember, I told you a long time ago, we do have that name recognition. A Democrat?
Yeah.
Everybody's heard that one before.
Oh, yeah. I can remember when it stood for, you know, caring about families and making sure that people didn't go hungry and had a roof over their heads. And
yeah, strange things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had an article I read today. I don't know. I guess I don't have it around here. I don't have a truth desk, so I don't know where it went. But the article was something like, it's not your father's party.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. And it's not, you know. But it can certainly be resurrected, and I'm working towards those goals.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, it's either that or bow out and just, you know. But I can't bow out, Wayne, because, you know, if you let this fascist agenda proceed apace, sooner or later we get our own little commemorative dog cages in Guantanamo, and I don't want to go.
Oh, yeah, no. You can't do that. You can't give up. Can't give up.
No.
And I will never give up. It's the right thing to do.
But, you know,
it's the honorable thing.
But I think Arianna Huffington hit it on the head, you know, trying to get our party to get on the right side of this issue in the Chavo matter is like pulling teeth.
Well, but the other side has the same problem, don't you think?
Yeah, well, they're on the wrong side of the issue, too.
Remember, this thing passed with, what, a majority of 3?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it ain't like they talked to everybody. A bunch of crazy people did.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try, you know, from my way of looking at it, and I guess it's terrible, but they made the mistake I've been waiting for. They showed themselves for what they are.
Well,
opportunists.
It's interesting. There's some polling data out there, Wayne, talking about how Americans feel about the Republican Party right now.
Uh-huh.
The number of people identifying themselves as true blue Republicans has dropped, while it's dropped by like 2 points, while the number of people identifying themselves as Democrats
went up 7.
Yeah,
yes.
Went up 7.
Right.
Now that's kind of important.
I think that's very important.
And I think a lot of those people were looking for the Democratic Party to come in and take the right stand on this issue. And the right stand on this issue is not to say, you know, oh, unplug her. It's to say, it's none of our business.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, because...
I don't know. I can you argue that to a point they've done that? By not being involved? By not being vocal?
I guess you can
argue
that.
You know, if you guys want to fight this, go ahead. I got other things to do.
Yeah, but in that case, you don't show up at all. You let these people make their bed. I mean, because that's the way the Republicans like to operate anyway. They didn't remember. You remember the Medicare prescription drug bill?
I remember it well.
Where they wouldn't even let a Democrat into the conference committee.
Right, but the people don't know that.
No. But yet we stood there and participated.
They know who won somebody Island or something.
Yeah. They can, and they know where Pinellas Park, Florida is, too.
Brother. Oh, man, yeah. Is that bizarre or what?
But, you know, we've got a chance here to do something.
Yes,
Because mind your own business does not appear in the Republican lexicon. They couldn't mind their own business in Iraq.
Well, exactly. And the same... Well, I mean, the hypocrite. Well, they're just such hypocrites. I mean, you've met, okay, DeLay pulled the plug.
Right.
You know, Schindler pulled the plug on his mother or something.
Yeah, and these two friars pulled the plug on the guy who invented their group.
Right. And there's no shame in that.
No.
You know, there's
it was
no
their
shame
business.
None whatsoever. You made a family decision.
Right.
A decision that was nobody else's decision to make but you and your family.
And again, it's not about the decision. It's about the hypocrisy about the decision.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. You know, but I'll tell you what, I really want some leadership here in this state. We are yearning for it, Wayne. I mean,
well, not, English, not just the state, the nation.
Yeah, I know, but
we have a leader. We have a leader in Robert Byrd.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, there's a man that, you know, and I don't know where, well, I was going to ask you that earlier. You know, where's all the defenders of these other people?
How do you defend them?
Well, even the local ones have been rather silent.
Well, for the last 2 days, that's because I'm the only talk radio in Beckley. You know, Dr. Bill and Steve have been sick.
You're a powerful guy, man. How'd you do that?
Radio.
There's a conspiracy there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yet to be uncovered.
Oh, no. Please don't get them started, Wayne. 30-4, the Senate voted to make English the official language, Wayne. 30-4.
When did we do this, Rob? What was the name of this bill? Why? You know, who introduced it?
I don't know. I don't know who introduced it.
Well, we have to find out. You know?
But it's.
I mean, you know, this one's even worse than the roadkill bill, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is Senate Bill 12. And you know, 30-4. I mean, there were some. I mean, who knows? Senator Weeks-minded might have even jumped in on this.
I don't know.
It was 30-4. But it, you know, this is leadership.
I'm sorry that I interrupted.
No. I just said this is leadership.
Yeah. Well, you said when you said Weeks, and it made me think about this the food tax thing, and you know this big play. Sumner's was there too.
Yeah.
You know, on reducing the tax. When they know that because of the people that they voted for on the national level, that we're going to lose, what, I don't know, $156 million from Medicare or something.
Medicaid, yeah.
This $100 million from education and this, you know.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, they can hide behind this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
You know, 32-2 on the parental notification anti-pregnant teenager bill. You know, do we have any health care coverage that's going to cover that that little girl and her fetus? No, of course not. But we're going to make her birth it. You know, and I know some of these are sensitive issues, but you know, it's not about the issues; it's about the hypocrisy about the issues.
Well, and the issue there's also the issue of it's none of your damn business.
Well, that one's out there too.
Yeah, I mean, you know that. Well. That was always a very important part of America.
Yeah, that was one of those rules that Mom and Dad hammered in early on me. You know, mind your own business.
Everybody heard that.
And somewhere along the way, somebody decided that didn't count anymore.
Well, it certainly doesn't. These Republicans don't think it does.
And some of these Dinos, too.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. Well, it's time for a perch. That's just all there is. We're starting out with two.
Off to the gulag.
Okay?
All right.
We got two. And we can only go up from here.
Exactly.
So.
All right. We got to take our break.
All right,
thanks so much, man.
Bye, man.
Later. Yeah, there's more than two. Come on. There's a bunch of us. We're just very busy being very, very quiet and very, very isolated the way they like it. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. Third hour coming up pretty quick, right after the news. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
of a murdered woman, who's the murderer? A man lurking in the shadows? A psychopath? A stranger? How about a husband? A boyfriend? A lover? The fact is, one-third of all female murder victims are killed by their intimate partners. In 69% of these cases, the murder weapon is a gun. These killings don't come out of the blue. They're usually the end of a long story of violent domestic abuse. Yet there's no telling which man will keep on punching and kicking, and which man will use a gun. That's why, under federal law, anyone convicted of domestic violence or subject to a domestic violence restraining order can't have a gun. They can't own a gun. They can't borrow a gun. They can't use a gun. If they do, they can go to federal prison. If you or someone you know is being abused, call 1-800-799-SAFE. If you have questions about the federal firearms laws, call 1-800-ATF-GUNS.
This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. Hour number three, as promised, 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, about 55 minutes, give or take some, for you to get your licks in. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. You'll want to use that if you're listening to the stream, which is at www.wwnrnewstalk620.com. I usually try to leave off the first three W's because I'm easily confused. But you know. Let's go to the phones. Jim had another comment for us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Yeah, Bob, I forgot to tell you, when Air Force One travels like that, also a Starlifter goes with it to take the vehicle.
Absolutely. So what do you reckon the cost to run one of those?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know. That's a big airplane. It's a transport aircraft.
What is that, a C-5 or?
I've heard it was a C-141 Starlifter.
Okay.
Now it could be a C-5A, which you know.
That's a real monster.
Oh yeah, it is. But I mean, these cars. I mean, I can imagine the security is going to surround her. But 5 hours to do all that, have talked to the president of Afghanistan, and then she's going to talk to the women about education. I mean, what's she going to sing? Is she working her way to college? She gained a lot of knowledge she ain't never had before. Or?
No, it just hit me, Jim. You know, if you read the Kitty Kelly book, you remember that there's eyewitness accounts in there of the fact that Laura was the go-to girl at SMU. She was the go-to girl for a quick score of a bag of weed or something. Remember?
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't think Kitty's been sued yet.
Nope, hadn't been sued.
But I mean, she's really got a heck of an itinerary because she's going to have lunch. Troops.
Yeah, the Afghanis are producing some of the best heroin they've ever made. Maybe Laura's still the go-to girl.
Oh, let's not even go there, but, you know, honestly. And this thing about the head of the Boy Scouts. Now, didn't the Boy Scouts have this big thing about gay people or something?
I seem to recall something about that, yeah.
Do they know what type of pornography this man was looking at?
Children having sex. They did say there were no scouts involved. Scouts honor.
I'm sure Lord Robert Baden Powell must be spinning in his grave.
Oh, I'm guessing so.
But I mean, you know.
Yeah, go look at a picture of this guy. He looks surprisingly like the BTK killer.
When I heard that this afternoon, then I heard about her trip over there, and you know the money that they're spending for her to have these photo ops. That could sure help a lot of sick people.
Yeah, who knows?
Democrats have done the same thing. I'm not putting it on Republicans. Okay?
I know.
I'm being fair.
But they're the ones that are—they're the ones that pride themselves on their fiscal conservatism.
Well, I mean,
I can understand Laura hitching a ride if you know somebody was already on the way over. This is a little ridiculous.
Now that would be reasonable, and you know, I'm not trying to blast anybody for a rock setup for something that my own party hadn't done. But
no, that's my job.
You know. Okay, I see. All right. I will put a file in that manicotti when I bring it to you, okay?
You do that.
I mean, you know, I just don't understand how these people could just, I mean, do they think it's just Monopoly money?
Yeah, or do you remember the old Game of Life, Jim?
Yeah.
Did you ever read the names of the people on the bills? I remember it was all humorous stuff, and I remember one of them in particular. In the Game of Life, the money that you got paid in, one of the portraits on one of the bills was a guy named G. I Love Money.
That's right. Now, how much money did they take away from Homeland Security for West Virginia under the presidency budget?
Now, that I don't know. I know we're down $156 million for Medicaid.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That money that she's spending for that photo op
could cover our Medicaid.
Sick and hungry people, and, you know, if she wants to help, or they could sure pay a lot of tuitions, couldn't it?
A whole bunch.
In our own country.
Hey, look, it could pay to keep the feeding tubes in lots of people. But the culture of life doesn't extend as far as, you know, pickles when she needs to go on a road trip.
Well, you know, I'm trying not to be ugly about anything.
Again, that's my job.
But honestly, I'm just at a loss for how these people can spend all this money.
Well, do you understand that? I mean, you were talking about the ROI, the return on investment in this. The entire world, with the single exception of the United States, knows that Afghanistan is in almost as chaotic a state now as it was at the time of the civil war there after the Soviet withdrawal.
Right.
Well, if they think that if they can show America a lot of pictures of Laura sitting around, you know, not dodging bullets or anything, then America will be stupid enough to think that, you know, peace and freedom is reigning in Afghanistan. Bear in mind, you know, she's not going to get anywhere outside Kabul, most likely. She's certainly not going to go into the lands that are still ruled by the warlords, because all we control of Afghanistan is Kabul.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, and I'm not demeaning any soldier who's given his life over there or their service to their country over there. I'm not. But the minute we pull those troops out of there, it's the same things that happened in Mexico in 1867.
Sure.
To Maximilian, you know, when they tried to set up that little thing under Louis Napoleon.
Right.
Well, the minute he withdrew the troops from Maximilian, guess what happened?
Maximilian found his back against a wall.
Yeah, the only thing he could say is, it's just sure it's a fine day to get shot, or worse to that effect.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, that's what's going to happen to that Mohammed Karzai, whoever that guy is in charge over there.
And you that reinforces, Jim, the fact that you got to be a little bit careful about going into places so that when it's all said and done, you don't have to look back and have grieving parents and wives and husbands and sisters and brothers and cousins and aunts and uncles all saying, well, that was in vain. Because when we pull out and Afghanistan does devolve into civil war again, it's sort of their natural state. That's what you're going to say. That's what's going to be heard. Well, that was in vain. What do you say about that football player? What was his name? The one from the Arizona Cardinals? The one that got killed by friendly fire, shot by his own troops? And they tried to make a hero out of him? That was in vain. And if we're not willing to say those kinds of things, Jim, the likelihood that we will go and do it again...
Head on.
Who are the toughest men and women in the area?
West Virginia Sports Promotions presents
the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest.
As seen on national TV.
Co-sponsored by 84 Lumber,
Hometown Subaru,
and Charter Media.
It's coming this Friday and Saturday to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. See up to 100 area men and women slug it out for thousands in prize money and tough man jackets. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. Good seats still available. Starting at just $12 for general admission. Reserved at VIP
VIP ringside seats also available. Get your tickets today at the Raleigh County Armory or any Ticketmaster outlet, including Kroger. Charge by phone at 304-342-5757. For additional information or to sign up, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 25th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on national TV. Coming this Friday and Saturday night to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
Top it out.
It's time for the Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night. It happens Saturday, April 9th, starting at 6:30 at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center. Come join us for a night of games, food, and a silent auction. Tickets are $50 per person. For tickets, just call 763-4720. 763-4720. All proceeds donated to Raleigh County Commission on Aging Adult Daycare Facility. Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night, Saturday, April 9th at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 18 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. Michelle is with us. Haven't heard from Michelle in a while. How you doing?
Hi, Mr. Bob. How are you?
Oh, if I was any better, well, I couldn't be any better. I'm right here happy where I am.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. First of all, can Mrs. Schiavo swallow or not?
No.
No.
No, because
so these burly police officers who are handcuffing 10-year-old boys for trying to bring her water
are actually
preventing murder.
Yes, that's correct. See, and you know this from the fact that after all the stink and all the cane that was raised, they took her on Easter Sunday, a wee tiny drop.
They put wine on her lip, and they couldn't put the bread on her tongue because she was dry. Her tongue was dry.
And yeah, and if she and she would have choked to death.
Yes. All right. Now, as far as the Pope, you know, he's going to have a feeding tube put in him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the Christian right the most vocal of all these people saying that they don't want her to be off the feeding tube, and they are the most vocal in anti-abortion issues?
That's correct.
Why? Now, I'm very confused on this, because if heaven is the place to be, why are they putting up such a stink?
Because they're hypocrites.
Is that the simple answer? I mean, I need more than that.
No, that's the... Well, okay, here's the slightly more complex answer. They preach a brand of religious hokum that they don't even believe, Michelle. Because, and frankly, you can apply it to abortion. You can apply it to Terri Schiavo. If what happens when she breathes out and doesn't breathe in again is that her soul goes to Christ, one would argue that they should let her do that. That would be the humane thing.
Well, I would think I'm not religious. I think religion is divisive.
Yeah, you can not be religious, but you can still be very spiritual.
Right. I am not a religious person. I do have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
And if it's my time, you know what? And I'm really mad at Jesus for bringing that guy back from the dead. Remember when he did?
Yeah, Lazarus.
He raised somebody. The guy is dead. He's in heaven. Why does he want to come back to this world?
I know. Of course.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Michelle, there's a reason for that, dear.
What's the reason?
Because you are using your brain. Okay? You're using your brain, and it doesn't compute. On the other hand, these right-wing nuts, they don't use their brain. It's almost atrophied they don't use it so much.
But they're Christians. They should be using their hearts.
Right, and they think they're using their heart. But
so they're using their brain by thinking they're using their heart.
And but in turn, you got to understand what is more important than anything else. As of November 2004, because of an unfortunate line in a news story, these people were given a bully pulpit because America was told to believe that the entire election was about moral values.
The election?
Yeah, the election. The election was about moral values. And as a consequence of that, these right-wing freaks think they have that they are the arbiters of what constitutes morality in the United States.
Well,
I'm not going to call anybody a freak.
No, that's my job.
Well, yes. Well, and you know that I can't even agree with you calling anybody names. You know I never have.
I know.
But, you know, what does it have to do?
Politics. Political power, Michelle. This isn't about Jesus. This isn't about Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, any ism. This is about pure, raw, naked, vile, gutter political power.
Okay, well then on that note, why are we cutting back the rail lines? Because isn't it cheaper to run railroads than it is to run cars? I mean, you can run railroads on wood.
Yeah.
And coal.
Yeah.
And steam.
Right.
And
vegetable
and
oil,
tell
diesel.
You what? Our oil production. Okay, here it is. And the Rolling Stones. The United States passed its own oil peak, about 11 million barrels a day, in 1970. And since then, production has dropped steadily. In 2004, it ran just above 5 million barrels a day.
Mm-hmm.
We get a tad more from natural gas. I can't read that word because I don't have my glasses on. But, you know, we're overusing.
Yeah,
we're overusing. And you can run a railroad, and we are cutting back the rail. You know what I have to do to get to Pittsburgh? I've got to go to Washington. I've got to spend the night, and then I can go to Pittsburgh.
We're talking about on
the railroad.
Oh my God! Yeah, I know. And see, look, but you're doing it again, Michelle. You're using your mind, okay? All you know, these people have an agenda. The people who think they've got a whole lock, you know, that they've got moral values locked down, think that that's why George Bush think that he follows that, okay? George Bush used them to advance a corporatist agenda, okay? And when we're talking about the corporatists, Michelle, we're talking about people like ExxonMobil and BP Shell and Texaco Mobil, whatever. And all these people, they don't care about whether we run out of oil. They're like heroin dealers, okay? They just want us to keep using.
Right.
As long as they've got it to sell, they want us to buy it.
I agree.
And as a consequence, that's a very un-American viewpoint.
The people should realize, hey.
No, Michelle, we as the people are not going to realize that.
We need to.
Damn straight we need to. Of course we do. That's why.
Oh, wake up, America!
Yeah, well, exactly. But see, I know you don't have TV and stuff like that, right? Well, see, you're in a uniquely advantageous position because you as an American citizen can focus on what you feel like you need to focus on in the world around you, right?
Well, no, I as an American citizen have everything I need without running water, without television, without a computer.
Right. Okay. So work with me here. You're able to focus on what you choose to focus on and make important what you deem should be important. Most of America doesn't have that luxury because most of America is plugged into an idiot box that tells them that rather than worrying about whether or not we're going to run out of oil or worrying about whether oil is going to run us up to $3 a gallon or $5 a gallon gasoline, most of America worries about whether Junior Leatherbutt won the NASCAR race or who's made it past the latest round on Survivor Island. Okay?
Oh my God.
Or, you know, whether Michael Jackson's nose slid off during the trial.
That is just so, you know.
That's an America with which you are not familiar, Michelle.
I am familiar with that. I've lived in that America, and I've chose to discard that part of America because of what's going to happen. What's going to happen is we are going to run out of oil. We are going to have to go back to the simpler ways of life. We have trashed our farmland in favor of suburbia.
Yes, we have. You're absolutely right. You have not said an incorrect thing. But, you know, you try... And
but nobody
you,
will walk anywhere. No one will buy a horse and ride a horse down to the store. Because, why? Well, you can't.
You can't, right. Exactly.
And you should be able to, because a horse is going to provide you manure for your garden, so you can grow your own food.
Mm-hmm. I get truckloads of it brought to my garden every year.
For your tomatoes, huh?
Yeah, well, for my everything.
Yeah.
But the what you say is so correct in so many different ways. But and can you imagine someone, you know, who has lived a long life, and they're, you know, they're fading out, they're going to breathe out their last, and they're sitting there thinking, you know, it's a damn shame I didn't catch another rerun of Leave It to Beaver. Is there anybody like that out there? I mean, do we have to wait until the end of this process before we realize how futile it is, the way that we choose to live?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it just seems so futile the way that other people live. To me, because, I mean, I have nothing. There is nothing that you can take from me but my land, and you can't take that because I own it.
As long as you pay the taxes on it.
As long as I pay the taxes on it and defend it, and I will defend my land, as steep as it is.
Yep.
I will defend it.
Absolutely.
But I don't need a computer. I don't need, I don't need running water. Country is going to hell in a handbasket because we are dependent on stuff that we do not need.
Yeah, you know,
to
look,
survive and to have a good life.
I'm just curious, Michelle, and we're running out of time, but I haven't heard from you in a while. I'm just curious, how often do you walk into Walmart?
Once a month.
Okay. You are probably, in terms of things you don't need, you know, look at 80% of the junk in Walmart comes from China. You talk about we can't do for ourselves. Hell, we can't even make a shirt or a pair of shoes for ourselves anymore.
If I had room in my house, I would set up a Singer sewing machine. I mean, I live in a caboose.
Yeah.
If I had room, I would set up a Singer sewing machine and make all my clothes.
Yeah.
I just don't have the room, and that's the only reason. I mean, I don't even buy my clothes from Walmart. I go down to the Goodwill.
Sure. But do you see what I'm saying? We are fast. I think you're right in many ways, Michelle. And what we are doing is we are fast screwing ourselves out of the ability to do for ourselves.
We are screwing ourselves. That's exactly right. We are screwing ourselves out of our God-given abilities. And we are not paying attention to those who've gone before us.
No, not at all. We don't cherish them.
Learning,
we don't honor
right.
them. We don't remember them. You know, I've got a recipe box of recipes that my grandmother wrote down. And
oh man, do you have a bread pudding recipe?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I want one.
I mean, these are recipes that were written down in 1916.
I know. I want a bread pudding recipe.
No, it's all in the sauce.
I know.
Yeah, and I prefer mine with bourbon. The bourbon sauce on... Oh,
yeah, but I make my bread pudding with chocolate chips and not raisins. Or raisins and chocolate chips.
Oh, that's yummy, too.
Oh, man.
Hey, we got to roll, Michelle. Good to hear from you.
Can I hold on?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
All right. Time for our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, more of your phone calls or more of me babbling, or maybe a mix of the two. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Health officials have declared rabies epidemic in Greenbrier County. In the last 13 months, health officials have reported 6 cases of rabies in that county, including 4 skunks, a cat, and horse. Greenbrier sanitarian Amanda Grimm said Monday that rabies has spread all over the county. Health officials have believed rabid skunks may have transferred the illness to the original animals. A skunk found on the farm located behind the state fairgrounds also tested positive for rabies. In February, a skunk ripped the jaw off another lamb during an attack, and that skunk escaped and could not be found. Grimm said the problem could worsen during the warm weather, given the amount of rabies that has been seen this winter. State senators are considering a bill that would allow private developers to enter into agreements with local public service districts for the construction of new water and sewer plants. In January, a Public Service Commission administrative law judge ruled that a deal between developers and the Jefferson County Public Service District violated state law. Normally, a utility must apply for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity form from the PSC before a sewage treatment plant can be built. President Bush could be bringing the battle over Social Security to West Virginia. Reports say the president will stop in Parkersburg next Tuesday to promote his Social Security plan. The president has been stumping across the country for the past few weeks, attempting to sell his proposal to overhaul the entire Social Security system. Union Carbide, a subsidiary of Dow Chemical, has contracted with Synergy Solutions to build and operate a generating plant that would provide steam for the South Charleston Technology Park. The plant would be capable of producing up to 90,000 pounds of steam per hour. That's the news. Here's the nice forecast. Rest of this evening, partly cloudy, clearing. Tonight clear, except for some areas of fog in low-lying sections, with tonight's low near 40. And then tomorrow, areas of fog in low-lying sections in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny, with tomorrow's high near 75. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's pet tip. So your pet wants to be a star. You watch all those TV sitcoms, you watch the movies, you see the commercials, all those dogs, all those cats doing all these things, and you say, hey, why not my pet? Well, there are things you can do. No matter what town you live in, every small town has advertising agencies. Contact the agencies, send them photos of your pet. Teach your pet some basic tricks. That's really important. If you're in a larger city, very often you'll notice in the yellow pages that they'll actually have animal talent agencies. Check them out carefully. If, in fact, you really want your pet to be a star, take some great photos, make sure your pet has a super personality, and knows how to react properly when it's around people and distractions. If you follow that advice, who knows, your dog may be, just maybe, the next Rin Tin Tin or Lassie. So go ahead, send those photos to the local advertising agencies, and don't laugh if you get a letter back saying you have a casting call tomorrow morning. I'll more next time.
With all the recent news about prescription medications, a lot of my friends are concerned about what to take for arthritis pain. I'm not. I'm doing what my doctor told me to do years ago. Take Aleve. He said the active ingredient in Aleve has been trusted by doctors for all-day relief for nearly 30 years. Aleve really works, but don't take my word for it. Ask your doctor if Aleve is right for you.
Aleve, prescription strength relief without a prescription. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Ready to get your Goodyears? Get to Goodyear while all Goodyear tires are on sale. Now through November 27th and save on Goodyear brand tires. Buy four selected Goodyear tires and get up to a $75 rebate. For everyday low prices and up to a $75 rebate, call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details. Hurry to get your Goodyears today. And check out Goodyear's new assurance brand of passenger tires.
Mail-in rebate offer ends November 27th.
Number 400,610.
Number 400,611.
Number 400,000.
This year, United Way helped train over 400,000 jobless people.
100,902.
700,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter. We helped provide quality child care for over 1 million families.
1,200,000.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we help restore.
My name is David.
The communities we unite.
Jake.
The newfound optimism.
Sarah.
The sense of purpose and of community coming together.
Lee.
Diane.
Louisa.
Michael.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way. Or log on to unitedway.org.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it.
liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. Thanks to Kelly for sending me the link to the Rolling Stone article to which Michelle referred. I had to sort of Evelyn Wood speed read it during the break, but it is sobering indeed. I'll try to, when I get home, I'll run over to the message boards at headonradio.com and I'll post a link to it. Something. If somebody doesn't beat me to the punch, they're talking about the, it refers to what we're facing in America as the long emergency. And I don't know if just from what I was able to peruse of it, it looks like it might be the endless emergency. And we have had time, have we not? We have had time to prepare for this. This is, well, because I'm mathematically challenged, this reminds me of that, you know, that algebra final. Knew it was coming, knew when the date was, knew it was going to be taking it, and waited, and forlornly hoped that somehow I would suddenly comprehend it all. Just, you know, the quadratic equation would just run right through my head, no problems, you know. But like the, you know, like the scarecrow reciting the Pythagorean theorem the minute that he gets his brain from the wizard. And knew it was there, didn't prepare sufficiently, and paid a price for it. Isn't that what we've been... When was the first oil crisis? 1973? Mm-hmm. Another one in 75, another one in what, 81? Remember? And we have had, lo, those many years, 30-plus years, to get serious about what we knew was going to happen. Have we? Of course not. And one of the things the article points out is that the things that so many of us in the environmental movement have great hope for, namely biomass, wind power, solar, all are good and are effective. But they're also energy intensive in their production. And this is frightening, because I know what the response is of the other side. I know it very well. Well, solar's not a solution. Wind power ain't a solution. Hydroelectric can't provide electricity for everybody. What we need is more mountain range removal and some more nuclear plants. I'm sorry, I pronounced it. Nuclear. We need more nuclear plants. And you heard that in the State of the Union address, didn't you? We got to have more nuclear plants. There's only one problem. Are we going to run our cars on nuclear power? Are we going to run buses on nuclear power? Are we going to truck our food to us on nuclear power? I don't think we've made reactors that small yet, have we? We have hard, hard choices coming, and we have every right in the world to be enraged at our leadership who have fiddled while Rome burns. And you probably get tired of hearing me say it. I don't worry much about my ability to survive any of this. I either will or I won't. But I do worry about my children. Hopefully my children's children. My children's 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 children. Yeah, you know. And it's a legitimate question to ask. At what point in the next few decades do we start going backwards? Because the magical thinking that we've talked about from time to time that, you know, the people in the addiction business talk about. And look, we're dealing with an addiction problem. This is no different than being than frying your noggin on meth, crank, crack, heroin, coke. It's all addictive behavior. And when you get to the point where you think, well, you know, we'll have a scientific miracle right when we need it, that's magical thinking. It's not based in reality, and it's not going to happen. And, of course, there's an entire segment of our population that doesn't give a damn because they're pretty sure that they're going to fly right through the roof of their SUV when you know, the rapture happens, even though it's not in the Bible. Okay? So we can't count on them. We can't count on the culture of life because the culture of life doesn't care. They think they're not going to be here. Now, bear in mind, when this day comes, and yea, verily, it will come, the culture of life will be the first ones with their hands out. It's going to be the grasshoppers and the ants. We're the ants. But they're going to be standing, you got to make sure the church bus runs and has fuel. God. Does it scare you as much as it scares me? I find it distressing in the extreme. You know, it's certainly no answer, but maybe it would be nice to have a legislature that focuses on some of these problems, that creates tax credits, perhaps, or enhances credits for people who build buildings that have zero usage buildings. People that install geothermal units to heat and cool their homes, people who put solar panels on their roofs or use the solar shingles. We could encourage that, which would reduce, you know, energy usage. That's crazy talk. No, we don't have time to worry about the future of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What we've got to do is make English the official language of West Virginia?
What?
And Kelly wrote back in, Kelly said, the thing that bothers me the most about the English as official language bill is its inherent racism. Yes. It's racist from top to bottom. And, of course, you know, but there's also a lot of lip service involved in it, because while we're going to make English the official language of West Virginia, we are damn sure not going to throw any more money into the school system to make sure that it's taught so that people can speak it in its proper form. I monkey around with it, you know, and I play with deliberately bad grammar and dialects and accents. And there's a magic in dialects. That's a natural thing that happens to the language. On the other hand, however, a student's inability to, you know, string a sentence together, subject, verb, predicate, or maybe to know what a dependent or independent clause is, or what the subjunctive is, what a gerund is, That's an educational failure. And, of course, we're not really busting a hump out there to make it happen, are we? No. So do you see how the priorities are all screwed up? Supposedly we're going to increase production of natural gas in West Virginia by giving them a break on the severance taxes. Do we want to increase production in West Virginia? Do we really want to? A lot of that's shipped out of state. There's going to come a time when we might like to have it right here, right now. Because there's going to come a time when we dole out our fossil fuels, what did P.S. Eliot say, in coffee spoons. Those are the little bitty spoons. But no, we've got to waste the legislature's time with parental notification requirements for minors seeking abortions. A measure that applies to unmarried females under age 18 who remain in the custody of a parent or guardian. So, wait a minute here. Can we have a motto for this year's legislature? Can we say that the motto for this year's legislature is act in haste, repent in leisure? Did you hear that sentence? The measure applies to unmarried females under age 18 who remain in the custody of a parent or guardian. Look what the pro-life movement just did, these freaking morons. they just encouraged little girls to run away from home because they're pregnant and they're scared of mommy or daddy? What a bunch of genuine hide-bound boobies the pro-life movement is. You think we could get the pro-life movement involved in worrying about the lives of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren for whom we daily rape the state and to whom we cannot be certain that we will pass a better West Virginia than the West Virginia that was handed to us? Yeah, I can't do that. Just gotta sew them pregnant girls' legs together and make them have that baby. Which, incidentally, we have not had any hearings in the legislature about increasing our ability to feed poor children. Screw these idiots. This isn't legislating. This isn't leading. This is a mockery of anything that approaches any idea of good government. Odds are that if mommy and daddy have done a halfway decent job of being mommy and daddy, they won't have to confront the abortion issue or whether or not Precious Lumpkin has to tell them about being pregnant. As I said earlier, that has a little bit to do about teaching teenagers about how to avoid being pregnant. Nah, can't do that either. And the mouth breathers would get all upset if we tried to make condoms readily available to teenagers. Oh no, can't have that. It gets a little heart-rending sometimes. And interesting, you know, we've got this guy out in Texas. One of the national leaders of the Boy Scouts of America. And he just got caught for being an aficionado of kiddie porn, just like registered Republican Chris Ruhlman did last week in Tennessee. You get it? Do you understand? We're worrying about all the wrong things. All the wrong things. Meanwhile, legislature is all wrought about something called upskirting, which seems like a disgusting live in a cave or something. I had to look it up. But they're discussing the practice of upskirting, which is, you know, sort of high-tech Peeping Tom, where people take pictures up women's skirts to get a... You get the idea. Now, this new bill mirrors legislation from Washington, New Jersey, and New York. I'm looking in here in the article to find out if West Virginia has an upskirting problem. America is apparently into it, because I just typed the word upskirt into Google and got 5,309,000 responses in 9/10 of a second. No, I didn't look. But there's nothing in here that says West Virginia has a problem with this. But instead of all the other things that we need to do, we're doing that. You figure it out, because I can't. Let's go back to the phones. Michelle had a final thought for us. Hey, Michelle, you're head on.
I did. I'm a woman.
Okay.
And I'm on birth control. I make my partner use a condom. And through whatever happens, I get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm raped. Maybe the condom bursts. Maybe my birth control isn't as effective as it should be. I want to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
The law will not let me.
Well,
are they not?
No, right now it's legal, Michelle. Right now it's legal for you to make that choice.
But once it's not, are they not obligated, as the father would be if I knew who the father was, to provide child support?
Hell no.
Oh, hell yes.
No.
Oh, if they make me have a baby?
Sorry. You lose.
if a man makes me have a baby against my will, isn't he obligated for child support? Even if we make the baby together with my will, isn't he obligated to provide child support?
Yeah, he is, but the state's not.
So if you have a baby.
Let me bring this kind of home for you, okay? Let me make this real clear for you. You know, we've been having this hissy fit about Terri Schiavo down in Florida, and people have been screaming for Jeb Bush to go and save Terri Schiavo, right?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of years ago, a profoundly mentally ill woman in the custody of the state was raped and became pregnant. In her best interests, it was deemed that she should probably have an abortion. Jeb Bush ran in and got the courts to forbid it. That woman was compelled to bear a child.
Well, then Jeb Bush should be paying for that child. Yes, he should.
Ain't gonna happen. Didn't happen.
I know he's not, but he should.
Because, again, the pro-life movement doesn't give a damn about anything except for the baby in the womb.
And that's what brings me back to my first thing. I don't get that. They're Christians.
No, they're not.
Well, they say they are.
Well, doggone it. I can't come up with an analogy that fast. But you can say, I'm the good humor man and I bring ice cream around every day, but I'm not. Saying you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian.
Am I being naive, Bob?
No, you're being completely reasonable. But you are being reasonable in the face of people for whom the idea of logic or reason or intellect is less than zero. Because, again, they don't function with their brains. Most of the Christian right is as brain dead as Terri Schiavo.
Well, I never thought of myself as a brainy person. I've always thought of myself as a heartfelt person.
Yeah, but
you're really confusing me.
No, you know how to separate the two. You know what's intellect and you know what's belief. And you know that belief is not grounded in reason or reality. It's something that you feel because you feel that way. But you can't prove it. You can't touch it. You can't smell it, taste it, feel it.
Yes.
It defies intellect. You know how to separate these two. On the other hand, the Christian right will say, I know I'm saved. No, they don't. They believe it. And that's fine for them to believe it. But they take a bunch of other garbage, and they think that if they believe it, it becomes fact. They're the Tinkerbells of our society. If they just believe hard enough, it will be real. But that ain't how the world works. Make sense?
I don't know. I just want to, crawl back into my cave.
There's a lot of us that feel that way.
Oh, it's so crazy.
Yes, the asylum has been turned over to the lunatics, Michelle.
I mean, not just, what you're saying, but what Rush is saying, what, a lot of you people are saying is just so crazy to me.
It's a crazy world.
Not on my 18 acres a day.
Well, God bless you. You've got 18 sane acres.
We are absolutely insane over here, but we are absolutely insane in something that I can understand.
Okay, that one I'll take on faith, Michelle. We got to roll, though.
All right, thank you so much.
Have a good night.
You too.
Oh, me oh my. Yeah, sure. The lunatics are running the asylum. Is there any doubt? The show tonight, of course, was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very, very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night by our good friend Ben Birch in Illinois at whiterosesociety.org. Go there if you want to hear yourself or hear someone else or just double-check something that was said on the show. Give it a listen. Wander around the site. He puts a lot of work into it, and it's pretty high-quality stuff, I can promise you. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. That'll be the prayer meeting edition of Head On. Till then, I'm Bob Kincaid. Hey, Agnes!